Job chapter 13, if you would, please. And we are going to technically finish chapter 13 tonight. And but I'll have a few things to say about the last couple of verses next week. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, Job chapter 13, and I'm going to pick up in verse 14, because I read some of these last week as well, through the end of the chapter. So begin with me in verse 14, and you can follow along there. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth, and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. Only do not two things unto me. Then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet, and he, as a rotten thing, consumeth, as a garment that is moth-eaten. And as we continue on here, Job is in the middle of talking to his friends about his case and about their assumptions and surmisings that they've come across so far. And as we continue on here, we talked about a lot of different things last week. But as we look at verses like 12 and 13, 14, 15, 16 here, we understand that Job is putting into words his confidence, his dedication, his trust that he has in God. And, you know, just this week, Monday night and Tuesday night at the conference, many things have been spoken on and brought up, but even last night, Brother Robbie Simpson, one of the assistant pastors down at Capital City Baptist Church in Austin, preached basically a message about renewing our trust in God, and you know, folks, we need to trust in God. He is the only one we can trust, and as I look to my as I look at my life. You know, there have been people that I have respected and, if you will, trusted. But can I tell you something? Even though those people maybe either did or didn't let me down, there was a trust there, but our trust in God goes beyond that, okay? Because man can let you down. If they haven't, they may. And if they never do, that's wonderful. Okay, I mean, there are some people that may never let you down through the course of their life or your life. And I just think that's fabulous. I mean, I want to be one of those guys that don't let anybody down. But I know that at times I probably will. And maybe I have already in some cases. But even if there was someone that you revered or trusted or had faith about, or faith in, if you will, as a human being, the possibility always exists that they can let you down. But with God and His Word, that possibility does not exist. Okay? God will never let you down. And because here's the thing about God and how he does things. If God does things according, let's just talk about prayer, prayer requests, the requests that we make, etc., the things that we ask God for. We ask God for something, and if he does it, we praise him, right? We give him praise. We put it on the praise part of the prayer list, and we say, God answered this prayer, and God did this. And that's what we say because God didn't let us down. We asked him, and he gave us our requests, our petitions. And that's a wonderful thing. And we trust God, and we praise God, and we thank God for those things. But can I tell you something? And this is where we need to realize something here. And Job is realizing this in his life. We ask God, and he doesn't grant the request. Okay? He has still been faithful. And he has still completed whatever it was that he should be trusted for. And you know what? I know this sounds goofy, or it sounds strange to people, but I'll just use my own life as an example, okay? We would have loved my Aunt Susie to make it through this difficulty. Our family, we would have loved that. But can I tell you something? We should praise God because he did answer the prayer. It just wasn't the answer that we wanted. But he was faithful to answer it. And I'm thankful that my Aunt Susie was a saved lady. She's in heaven. That's a joyous thing. That's a great thing. And can I tell you something? God has a purpose for her death. And we should trust in that. And God should be counted faithful. And I know this sounds strange, but God should be praised for answering the prayer in the way that he answered the prayer. Who are we to determine whether or not that was the best thing? And by the way, let me just kind of rewind just a hair. Who are we to say that our request was the right way to go about it? You see what I'm saying there? Maybe we shouldn't have requested that. Because obviously, this was the answer that God gave. And I'm just using this as one example. And please understand, I am trying to take out all the human elements. Because we're focusing on our great God right now and what he does. And so, but Job had to remember that his trust and his confidence, his dedication was in his God. No matter the outcomes. Let's listen to what he says here. As he talks, he says, hold your peace and let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. So just in that particular thing, he says, look, I've had enough of what you guys have to say and what you think. I'm going to speak, and I trust my God so much that I'm going to speak clearly. I'm going to speak in an open conscience. He said, because if you notice in verse 15, he says, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Okay? And so he says, look, I'm just going to speak frankly with God. And whatever comes upon me because I know my God. I trust my God. I'm dedicated to my God. I know his character. I know him. And I trust him. And so he says, wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand, right? He's saying, look, I'm taking this upon myself, and I don't need you to help me. You weren't here. You don't know the circumstances. You don't know what's going on. You don't know the altars that I visited and the things that I sacrificed, the prayers that I've made, guys. You don't know my daily life, my integrity. You don't know how right with God I am or how wrong with God I am. You have nothing to say about it. I'm going to take this upon myself because I trust my God. I have a relationship with him. I know him. I'm dedicated to him. And he's faithful to me. I mean, that's his confidence is just oozing out of these words. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That's pretty bold. Okay? And so he's just building a case, and he's giving insight into how we should view our relationship with our God. And let me just say this. I think that helps us in many ways. Because when we have this great confidence and dependence upon our God, it provides great comfort in our circumstances. You see, to this point, Job has been hit with this really heavy circumstance. He was silent for a while, which is a good thing to do. Now, I'm gonna meddle just a little bit here, okay, if you don't mind. Who's to say that him just being silent until God decided to speak maybe would have been the right path to take? You know? Maybe that would have been the right thing to do. You know? Because Job still hadn't... we're in chapter 4, almost chapter 14, and he still hasn't heard from God. And how many of you have ever got yourself in this situation? You experience something, or you observe something, or you see something, and the responsible party hasn't spoken or hasn't divulged what's going on or whatever. And you and maybe others in that are around you begin to talk about what happened and what could have been the cause for this or cause for that, or, oh, it could have been this, it could have been that, it could have been this. And we just go, you know, we start, oh, I wonder if this, you know, this is, you know, we start pulling things, and no official announcement has been made, right? The responsible party hasn't said anything or told us what's going on. So it's kind of like, I kind of think of it that way, right? And so, you know, Job speaks, and then his friends speak, and, you know, his wife has spoken, and, you know, Job answers his friends. And so there's this all this little party going on, and the authority, the one in charge, hasn't said a thing. And they're pulling all these things together. And by the way, if you read through this, a lot of it's getting them in trouble, because they're making untrue conclusions about things, or they're saying things that could be the case, but in this case it's not the case. And, you know, that's kind of, I guess that's where the thing, you know, open mouth insert foot comes in, right? And that's I need to stretch more, because I couldn't get my foot all the way up there. Maybe that's a good thing, but anyway, so that's what I kind of, like I said, I want to meddle just a little bit. Who's to say that maybe they all should have just stayed quiet till God spoke? Anyways, but we have this instead, okay? Now, by the way, that would have been a really boring book of the Bible, if that would have been the case. They sat in silence until God spoke, okay? But, you know, whatever. Now, let's talk about Job as we end up tonight. And I'm just going to give you just a couple of things here. Not a couple. I'm going to give you three things. A few things. A couple is two. Right? Now, Job depends on God for his justification and salvation. So this is the foundation of Job's life. Okay? So Job is giving his dependence upon God. And let's look what he says here. He says in verse 16, he says, "He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him." So he said, and then he goes on, he says, "Hear diligently my speech and declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified." Okay? Now, what Job is saying here is, he says, look, in my relationship with my God, I know that the truth will come out. I know of his status as the righteous judge and the justifier of man and the savior of man And I know God, and I know that this will all be resolved by Him in His righteousness, in His holiness, in His perfection. I am sure of it. He says, look, a hypocrite shall not come before God. So I'm not a hypocrite. He's already defended that. And he says, so my salvation, he shall be my salvation. All right. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean salvation in an eternal sense, but it could. But it also means, it could mean his salvation from this circumstance. Okay? His saving from this circumstance, this awful circumstance that he's in. But he says that he is going to be my salvation. And he says that in him, he's going to be justified. Okay? So he says, I've ordered my case. I've ordered my cause. And I know that I shall be justified. Now, justified where? And to whom? Not to his friends. Because he really doesn't care what they think. Remember, their words and their things aren't going to last. Nobody's going to remember them, except for us because we're reading them. But it matters his case before God. He's going to be justified before God. And I hope that you understand that no matter what circumstances you go through, your salvation is in God and your justification is in God. Nobody else's opinion matters. Nobody else's ideas matter. But your standing before your God is what matters. And Job says, I'm able to stand firm on that bearing that my relationship with God is what it is, and I know that it is. And he's very confident. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse 32. I had to include this because it's my new life verse. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You didn't know aliens were in the Bible, did you? Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So you understand, this is the hall of faith, and he's talking about the people that have endured all these things. Can I tell you something? All of these people that received salvation, they endured so many things, but yet their salvation and their justification was in their God. Okay? And so many of them died. Many of them didn't get to see the, if you will, earthly victory, but they got to see the heavenly victory. Okay? And so, I can tell you stories about missionaries all over the world that went and did what God told them to do, and they did it to the best of their ability, and yet they did not see any fruit because they died before that fruit came forth. And so we don't always get to see the outcome of these things, but yet God is faithful. God is who he says he is, and he is going to do what he says he's going to do. And so I just wanted to be an encouragement to you. I got to get to you, these other two things before we stop here. So Job depends upon God for his justification, for his salvation. He depends upon God consistently. He doesn't waver in his dependence upon God for everything in his life. Okay? So Job is saying, I'm going to depend upon God to justify me. I'm going to depend upon God to save me out of this circumstance. I'm going to depend upon God because he is faithful, and I'm not going to not depend upon God. He says here, hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. And verse 19, he says, who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. He says, I have to speak this. I have to get this off my chest. I have to get this out, or I'm going to die. He said, only do not two things unto me. Then will I not hide myself from thee. He says, withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. And so he's asking God to lighten up a little bit, if you will, right? And to help him to understand what's going on in his life. Okay? And because, by the way, at the very beginning of this, this thing hit him very hard. So he says, God, he says two things. He says, do not two things unto me. He says, don't withdraw thy hand far from me. He feels like that God has withdrawn his hand from him. Right? Now, this is not the hand of judgment. This is God's guiding hand, comforting hand. Okay? He says, don't withdraw your hand from me. He feels like God has withdrawn his hand from him. Just in your own time, go through and read Psalm. Hold on, I got to find it now. I'm skipping a few things here. Psalm 130, okay, and Psalm 88. Just some things that David has in common with Job about God being far from him, okay? And so he's saying, Jesus, don't, during this ordeal, God, and as I call out to you and as I stand ordered and justified before you, he says, I don't want you to remove your hand from me. And then he says, and let not thy dread make me afraid. So he's basically asking God to calm his fears of the almighty judgment and workings of God. Now, folks, that's a perspective. Okay? Is God an awesome God? Okay. And is his wrath scary? And judgment scary? Okay? So he's saying, look, your dread, when we think of something that's dreadful, right? That's something that would make us afraid and flee, right? And fear. And he says, just do two things for me, God. He says, don't remove your hand from me. He says, withdraw thy hand, withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Okay? So he says, God, don't withdraw your hand from me, and then help me, God. Because, by the way, could you fear because your children have been killed right before you? Could you fear because all your wealth has been taken away? Could you fear because your health has been taken away? Could you fear because your friends are against you and it seems like the hand of God has done this unto you? So there could be great fear in you because of that. So he says, God, don't let that happen to me. And so we're going to pick this up and kind of finish out the rest of this chapter and into chapter 14 next time. But as we think about Job, we must depend upon God. We must maintain our confidence in him. And we also must, one more thing, we must depend upon the performance and the promises of God because he is always faithful. And he can be trusted. And that's why I think Job was not afraid to ask God for these things and to make this stand that he's making before God in the presence of his friends. And so as we go through our circumstances, may we be able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. May we be able to say, behold, I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. And may we be able to say, God, just two things. Don't take your hand away from me and help me not to be afraid of the dread or the judgment or the supposed judgment that you are capable of as God.